It's easier to tell the truth in fiction. It just is. One night, the phone rang and it was around 4 in the morning. That's no small thing, because my phone is not a phone anymore, so it was the landline. And it rang and rang and rang and rang. I woke up listening to it. No one left a message, and then it rang and rang and rang again. The windows all here are pretty well open a lot of the time. Because Hawaii. That's how it works. Anyway, got the call. National Novel Writing Month. But you know, the hardest action urge to resist is telling anyone who's actually in my life and knows who I am that I'm planning on doing this. Because I just... Ugh. And I know where that's coming from. It's like wanting to have people on my side. But there's so much more power to, like, having a plan for doing a thing and not telling anyone. Because then, if I don't do the thing, no one knows about the thing. And if I do the thing, then by the time anybody knows about it, it's done. And I don't have to tell them that it's done. I can just secretly know that it's done. I'm making more food, like actually cooking shit, and interacting more with roommates. That being said, I spent all of today not making a phone call. It's amazing the number of things I did, like bleach the toilet and sweep out the bathroom and kind of slightly clean things, and so much stuff I did in order to not make a phone call. But I did a lot of other things that were really hard. And I have done harm reduction by reducing overall spending. Amazingly enough. It's sort of like a traumatic thing to look at my finances. Because almost 16 years now, I've had more expenses than income. That is a terrifying way to live. And I've done everything in my power to become solvent and sustainable. So I still have some savings from the two financial miracles of first my husband's life insurance and then all the back pay from the 8-year-long battle with Social Security for Disability. But still, there were a lot of years of just sheer, I can't make this work. I am subsisting on the lowest level. I'm homeless. I hate myself. I have no health care. I'm treating myself like shit until I can't take it anymore and then splashing out on something ridiculous and then hating myself more. So, it's pretty amazing how quickly, in just 4 months, I have adjusted, because I just paid rent today, to something that is very nearly matched up, right? Because there's a lot of startup costs with, I got rid of everything in my life and came here with 3 bags, all my worldly goods, and like, moving in here, I wanted to be very self-sufficient. So there were a lot of things that I bought that I didn't necessarily need to, but were important for me to assert agency. So, like, buying my own clothes. There were some clothes that I bought online because I had to leave behind a lot of clothes, and it turns out that I really needed a lot more sleeveless shirts in Hawaii, and shorts, much more in the way of comfortable shorts. I wanted a way to wash my own dishes, have my own soap, Castile soap, subscribe and save, and bulk up on certain things that I was going to be needing a lot, pay for my own toilet paper, because I still have endometriosis and 2 menstrual cycles a month, thank you so much, my transphobic reproductive system that hates me. I wanted my own dishes, my own dish washing and drying rack outside, so that I wouldn't have to rely on anybody. And of course, I can wash out and reuse a lot of, like, plastic tubs and things that I find, and I can go to the thrift store that they have up by the hospital that's so lovely, but I have to have cash, and I have to actually make a special trek up there. But I've gotten a few things that I like an old Spaghetti Factory glass, which I got because, like, where the hell is there an old Spaghetti Factory anywhere near here? And there were things I needed because I had to leave behind all my hula hoops. I wanted a collapsible hula hoop that was heavy enough. And I needed a mosquito net. Desperately for the flies. And ant traps and fly traps. And a new lamp. And a new stand fan because the ones that were here died pretty much immediately. I'm kind of worried about that because apparently they don't last long here. And, maybe eventually I'll adjust to the point where I don't need one. Don't know. But just things of daily living so that I can be self-sufficient and not have to rely so much on my housemates. And, well, maybe it's a holdover, but maybe it's also like a way of asserting my power in this situation where I'm spending more than half my income on rent of, like, no, but you don't own me. And you don't get to guilt me into doing more around the house that I can't do. And I share a separate bathroom with the other tenant, so it's like there's not going to be monitoring of, like, you know, hey, clean up your mess. I'm doing the best I can. And I pay for toilet paper, so there's no monitoring of my toilet paper usage of, like, hey, I am the only one who was saddled with this fucking wonky-ass female reproductive system where I have incredibly painful and heavy periods twice a month. Thanks for that. I didn't want to share that with you, but seriously, you want to clean up all this blood? You want to carry me around? You're like, follow me around with a cup and listen to my complaints all day? No? Then shut the fuck up about my toilet paper usage, because I'm paying for my own. And my own tampons as well, because I need the serious heavy-duty ones. And I love that there are charity programs where you can apply and you can get free menstrual products, but you have to go through, like, a third party, right? And I can't be guaranteed that I'd have ones that are, like, serious enough to take care of my needs. Anyway, there's just the one phone call I haven't made today to Aloha Care, to a person that I got a personal recommendation for. I'm gonna have to do it tomorrow. I have to, because I've done everything else today. I've looked at my finances. Everything is still ticking over. Tickety-boo, that's fine. And I'm still taking care of things. I'm clearing up this rash that I got from mango sap. I have an allergy to mango sap. Who knew? From picking fresh mangoes. I'm not allergic to mango juice or the fruit itself. But the plant is related to poison ivy and poison oak. And I am one of four people that I know of personally, when I started sharing about, like, yeah, that's why I have this rash everywhere. Oh yeah, me too. Oh yeah, my ex-wife too. Oh yeah, me too. Mango sap from picking fresh mangoes. Oh darn. I mean, that's kind of like, kind of a win of a rash. I have all the reasons to have a rash. I got it from picking fresh mangoes that were just falling off the tree, given away for free. But, yeah, just adjusting to all this. But now this whole new, like, fired up with the desire to write in fiction, and to find an appropriate program for it. I'm going to do National Novel Writing Month for the first time in quite a few years. It's been a while. But every time I write a novel, I have to kind of pull a Neil Gaiman and tell myself that I'm not doing it. And every time, it's reinventing the wheel in terms of getting ready. Because I'm much more of a pantser, seat-of-the-pants writer, than planner. But I can dive so far into the research and the planning that I never actually do anything. So any system I find that works once, I'm going to come back to it, and then I'm going to elaborate it and enhance it and make it more complicated as a way of avoiding doing a thing. See, there's a theme here of coming up with ever more elaborate ways, decadent ways, of avoiding doing the actual thing by doing all the things around it. Now, that's a good thing if you have, like, a rash and you don't want to spread it. You scratch around where it's itching, or you pat it, but you don't actually scratch right on it. But when it comes to actually doing a thing, doing all the things around the thing doesn't get the thing done. So, making endless to-do lists, and then doing everything else on the list, except the one thing I don't want to do, doesn't get the thing done. It doesn't get the phone call done. And going deep into, like, my childhood and my history and all this stuff and my trauma about all the reasons and all the failed things and all the terrible experiences I've had that are behind why I don't want to do the thing doesn't get the fucking thing done. I can understand why. I can be patient. I can try to reward myself and take care of myself and just oodles of self-care. And the thing still doesn't get done. But I did so many things today. Just want to do one thing tomorrow, and that's the phone call from the landline. I get to use the landline. It's fine. I learned a lot of things that I have at my disposal that I thought I was going to have to buy my own printer, but I really kind of don't. I'm just very, very gradually rebuilding trust with someone, building trust with my landlord, who has not really given me any reason not to trust. It's just, you know, it doesn't take much for me to run and hide. And then just spending more and more time with dogs that make me feel loved and special and exactly fine, exactly the way I am. And focusing ahead, going like, yeah, I'm gonna write this bitch. I'm gonna write this as a novel. Easier to tell the truth than fiction. And I found a way in to my own story. And I like this approach that I'd read about, and I think I've been doing it all my life, but not really knowing that I was doing it, but, like, doing it with intention this time of writing first draft just to write it, knowing that I'm never going to come back and read it, just to write it. And then, if I decide to write this story again, write it without looking at the first draft. Just who the fuck cares? Because I think, really, secretly, the first draft of it was the couple of podcasts, one that is lost forever and one that is backed up on a thumb drive I can't access. That was while it was happening, there was that, and I was taking pictures and putting them on Instagram, and now I just have the pictures. And the pictures only tell a very, like, the fluffiest, creamiest, prettiest stuff on the top. Sometimes just the desperation to find something good in the world. While all the stuff that was happening in the dark, in the night, in private, when I was crying and falling apart and feeling like I was just completely psychotic a lot of the time. That's what's gonna finally have to be pulled out, excised like another still beating heart, and put on the pages of this novel. The part that I need to seize and capture while it's still alive, while I still remember all the terror, all the pain, all the madness. When the time came and it was my sanity or my life, I surrendered my sanity. And I did things that I'm not pleased with, not proud of, and find a way to look at that through the lens of fiction. Like postcards from the edge. Like any one of a number of things loosely fictionalized. Just for me. Just because I need it. This is my therapy. Doing it through fiction. Finding all these ways to look at what the fuck just happened over the last year. And then all the reassessments that happened over the last year when I realized I was transgender and autistic and that I had no friends and that I was surviving domestic violence, got away barely with my life and all on my own. All the things I learned, but finding all of that, kind of a Cheryl Strayed wild sort of thing, but much weirder and woolier. And also I've been thinking about Mark Danielewski's House of Leaves. So, like, want to be super loose in how I put this out, too, of just, like, doesn't necessarily need strict structure. It can be as fragmented as my fucking mind felt like a lot of times. And Kiss of the Spider-Woman, the movie, and also Griffin and Sabine, Nick Bantock's series of books that were told in epistolatory format of, like, physical letters and postcards, some of which you could take out and unfold and read, stuff like that, but also Lemony Snicket, just this really interesting way of telling a story. I love things like that for the experience, even if I can't always necessarily follow them, and I love that the freedom it grants me to just write this however it's going to come out doesn't matter. Because it's not for anybody else. This is the draft for me. This is the draft because I need this draft. Just like the podcast was very Dada and surreal. And still is. But I gotta make a fucking phone call tomorrow. And I gotta exercise a lot of skills that I'm not great at. I read something awesome on Instagram about, like, high-stakes conversations and how one will be judged on how well one performs verbally, like, both in auditory processing and responding immediately, and that these are high-stakes things because what you say is going to affect a lot. So, like, interviews or interrogations or, you know, very time-limited things, first dates, whatever. All this shit where you have to really think about a lot of factors. And they're really hard on neurodiverse people. Or public speaking. Or pop verbal quizzes. Which is what every verbal conversation feels like. Feels like I'm being judged on a particular skill that I'm not particularly good at. And this is also why I hate the sort of ambush slash invasion feeling that I get when there's a verbal confrontation where the other person has had time to prepare and I have not. I often feel like besieged, like just give them whatever they want, get through it and get out. And then afterwards I'm like, hey, I have objections to everything that just happened. Like, for instance, I sometimes put things into or get things out of a freezer that is a shared freezer and it's outside. But I had to get some ice cubes and put them in a glass and bring them in here. But someone else then put something else in the freezer. And I don't know, because we all share it, right? But then the other tenant, like, came around and made a great deal of effort to get my attention and say, by the way, the freezer door is open out here. I was just kind of like, he was out there, he saw it was open, but rather than do anything about it, came to bark down my snorkel about it. And it's like, afterward, I was like, what is the problem with just shutting the door? If I walked in and I saw a freezer door open, I would shut the freezer door. I wouldn't go hunt somebody down to tell them about it. You got thumbs. You can shut the damn door yourself. Oh, well. But, you know, and it's just sort of like, it's one in like a pattern of things of, like, this person kind of trying to push at the boundary of what I should be responsible for. Like, I make a sandwich and I want one. And it's like this pass whole aggress whole. No, you can make one yourself. You got thumbs. You got a brain. And he was like, I was just joking. Not funny. Not to me. Jeez. Like, sometimes he'll make pizza and I'll have some of the pizza. Sometimes I'll make pizza and I'll tell him there's pizza. We'll tell each other when there's food or not that we've made and there's extra. But not, like, go out of our way.
right? Or if there's a problem with our shared toilet or whatever, or the shared dryer, we talk about it, and then if it's a big thing, then we go talk to the landlord, and it's like... But there's just some things where it's like, if I'm in the kitchen and I'm making food, happens to wander through the kitchen, he says, "Oh, what's that?" Just like rapid fire questions of just like taking to answering things like my brains, square shaped brains, that's what I'm making. Of just what is the deal with drive by questioning about everything, where if you could just take a second and pay attention, you would understand what's going on. And I wouldn't feel just like, oh yes, let me drop everything I might have going on to meet your need for information immediately. And it's just one of the reasons I hate questions that are just out of the blue, like pop quiz, asshole. Why? And sometimes it's just nothing. I just got nothing. I am nonverbal, I am low verbal, and I'm like, why am I going to give you this information? I don't even want to have a discussion about why I don't want to talk about it, because then that's talking about it, and just please, please, for the love of fuck, how important is it what you're saying? But most people are used to being verbal, right? And I'm different. But if I ask for accommodations, then that's admitting a vulnerability that people kind of have to actually fucking care enough to do something about it. Or I have to have the might of the law behind me, or regulations, or whatever. And even then, I'm not guaranteed to get accommodations. So sometimes it's just like, sometimes I'm just gonna fucking stonewall people because I don't want to talk. I don't want to drop everything I'm doing and then attend to whatever current needs that you have that you're just wandering through my orbit and you're suddenly like, pew, 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 pay attention to me. That's not what I'm here for. And it just builds up of like, dude, I'm at home. Maybe I'm making food. Maybe I'm just going to the bathroom. But I'm not just open for business at all times to perform humanity for you. Neurotypicality, whatever. I'm just not here for anybody. And I'm a lot more able to be here for other people when I don't feel an excess of demands. Questions can be demands. And it sucks because I want people to ask questions more than tell me what to do. But I also need to be able to say no. So if the question itself is like, there's no good way to just say, mm-mm, not today, shut it down, nope, then it's a trap, right? So what is that? What if I just said no all the time? No. Nope. Not today. I just need to... I need practice at that, and I hate doing it at home, because I'm just tired of fighting for boundaries where I live, I guess. But at least it's not seen like a challenge in this home. Of, like, where I say no, it doesn't necessarily escalate the aggression on the other end. Because that's been a problem before. Where I'm just like, hey, just leave me alone, just give me space. And then it just turns into like a, oh, really? Oh, this is bothering you? Let's do more. No. No, I pay to be here. So do you. So can we just not? I'm paying to live here. I'm not paying to socialize with you. I don't know. See, overthinking it doesn't help either. Because then I get all self-righteous and shit, and it's just like, no, I just live here, man. And sometimes I'm just... Every verbal interaction is an effort. An effort of auditory processing, an effort of monitoring how I'm behaving, whether I'm making eye contact, whether they can hear me, clarifying, wondering why I even bothered to say anything in the first place.
What the fuck, man? Sometimes I wish that verbal conversation was not the default, because people are shit at it. People are terrible listeners and don't really talk to, like, engage in conversation to understand someone else. There's a lot of, someone will start talking to me and then I'll fall into the trap of responding, and then it turns into, like, a soliloquy or diatribe on their part. I try not to do that to other people, but I'm just like, if you're talking, you're not listening to me. How do I talk so other people will listen? And how do I get other people to shut up so I can talk? Sometimes it's just like, why is this the thing? Why do we reward the most aggressive and impulsive of communicators who really don't take time to think or plan? Why are these instant gratification tyrants running the world? Fuck it. Oh well. At least history is full of books, writers and readers, people who think more deeply and fully and thoroughly. And we just put up with the talkers who know not what they do, but sometimes need to just be told to shut up and go take a nap. I don't want to be a parent here. That's not my role. No. Sometimes I need a timeout. And sometimes it needs to take several days. Sometimes I need to go for a walk. Because you know what? I am nobody's parent. And anybody who wants to be my friend, you gotta have other ways of communicating if talking is just too hard. And especially conflict resolution. Because if our only way of conflict resolution is a way that I can't win, I can't break even, and I can't get out of the game, well then, that is definitely doomed to fail. If the only times we ever interact about shit that's serious are verbally, then pretty much the first time that happens will be the last time I think of you in a friendly way. If I can't communicate with someone in writing and have them behave with the same amount of respect and patience that I try to practice when verbally communicating, it's like, no, man, no. It's just this thing of hate about, like, verbal tyrants. Of, like, well, we have to have communications because this thing with the, like, face-to-face, we're losing our connections with each other and humanity if we are not, if we're doing everything by text and by email and by letter. It's like, no. No, in days long past, we would do a lot more stuff by correspondence, by writing shit out. And it would make us slow down and stop and pause and take a breath and really think about what we were doing. Because it would take a long time to get there, and we would value more the effort that we put into our words. Sometimes. You know? And there was just a lot more of that. But now it's bing, bang, boom. Culture of urgency. And hustling and always getting to the next thing. We're having these endless meetings that kind of steamroll and zamboni over anyone who needs more time to process and yet can return more deeply insightful commentary. I'm demanding more and more of people who don't function best when put on the spot and scrutinized and then ridiculed and criticized and shut down and shouted over by whoever is the loudest and most obnoxious and least thoughtful in the room. It's like we have a whole, the culture of face-to-face talking is a culture of bullying. That's when where bullies thrive. Secure power and keep power. And attain and acquire positions of power by running right over anybody who takes time to exercise their will, their intellect, to think of other people. Sort of an anti-empathy culture. People who don't have conversations to listen, to understand, to truly feel into where other people are, to have compassion and humility, but just to win. A debate team culture of whoever is the quickest draw. Reach for the sky, mister. I'm gonna speak to you. I'm just like, throw down my guns and walk away, and the little bastard shot me in the ass. Blazing Saddles, oh yeah. Well, I've got a pen in my back pocket, and I'm gearing up for National Novel Writing Month, and I don't care if nobody else wants this story. I got into writing because there were things I wanted to read that didn't exist. And no one can write this but me. Because I was there. And I may be writing it as fiction because that is the easiest way to tell the truth. The best way. The real truth. The truth at the core of everything, where people can't say, well, I was there and it didn't happen that way. Of course not. Because you weren't in me. You aren't me. This is my story. And I have to make a phone call tomorrow. I've done maybe 5 impossible things today. And it's 2:00. Avakea, the hottest part of the day. And I just don't want to make a phone call today. I don't ever want to make this phone call, but I need to. I got to. Time is marching on, and time still marches on. Fuck. Money is still a thing. And I gotta do the best I can. I just can't get stuck in it anymore. Because then my life belongs to the people with the gold who make the rules. And that's no way to live, man. No way to live. Side note, if you happen to have a copy of the World Book, wherever you are, in a library, in a home library, I saw this on Instagram. You can rearrange the books so that the spines spell out weird cock. You're welcome. Every time I sit up in my bed, I see it. It makes me feel so happy, especially because I'm surrounded by roosters that are bred for cockfighting. So first thing I hear in the morning is a whole symphony orchestra of...